By listening to this audio, you are agreeing to the terms and conditions found on drmackenziebrooks.com.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Mackenzie Brooks here. Welcome to Chapter 13 of your chosen Web Workshop for Women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, Women's Work Quickening, A Call to Action, brought to you by drmackenziebrooks.com, your source for continuous development and lifelong learning. Each of the 13 Cherry Pits for Our Minds has been handpicked by me from the many thousands of hours of conversational journeys that I have had and continue to have with the most incredible women as their coach, counselor, and workshop facilitator. I chose the name Web Workshop intentionally. During each chapter, I will be stopping at different points in my presentation and inviting you to reflect upon certain questions. When I do, you might want to pause the recording while you reflect upon your thoughts and start it again when you are ready. You might consider having something close at hand that you can use to write down your own thoughts. I am inviting you to think of our time together as an online workshop. In this chapter, I would like to introduce you to the last of these 13 hand-picked cherry pits for our minds, the 13th cherry pit. Cherry pit number 13 is, Life is an experiment. Life is an experiment. What if life is an experiment and nobody thought to mention it to us? What if all of life was, is, and continues to be one big experiment? What if everything we do and how we do it are simply the ripples of change set in motion by decisions made and actions taken by others sometime in the past? What if we are living with and navigating the now of those past decisions and actions? What if the truth about reality is that no one really knows what is going on? No one really knows what we are doing, and we're doing it anyway. What if we are all winging it? What if this piece of life essential wisdom is missing from what has been learned, downloaded, and programmed into our collective GPS for life? Inviting cherry pit number 13, Life is an experiment, in for tea to reflect upon and entertain, compels us to entertain thoughts such as, no one really knows what they are doing, and that everyone is experimenting, that everything is an experiment, that anyone can do what they want to, and in fact are doing just that. What if no one is really responsible for what we set in motion? What if no one is really responsible and accountable for the cumulative impact our decisions and actions have on the web of life, on the life support ecosystem for all of life here on our Mother Earth, for those of us in the present, and for those of us 7 generations in the future? The thought that I'm inviting us to invite in for tea to reflect upon and entertain is that until we know how to walk the ands, we don't know what we don't know, since we cannot see the relationships between all that there is. The thought that I am inviting us to invite in for tea to reflect upon and entertain is that only those of us who have eyes that clearly see the relationship between the actions we take in this experiment called life and the outcomes, the consequences, the ripples of change that we set in motion, both desired and undesired, are able to make decisions for the greater good. We now know that there are outcomes. We now know that there are consequences for every choice that we make and every choice that we do not make, for every action that we take and every action that we do not take, even when we are unable to currently see these connections. We now know that it is our responsibility to protect and preserve our beautiful Mother Earth for the children 7 generations in the future. We now know that the ripples we are setting in motion by the choices we make and do not make, and the actions we take and do not take, are co-creating a certain future for these children. We, you and me, by what we do and what we do not do, are co-creating what the lives of children 7 generations in the future will be like. The thought that I am inviting us to invite in for tea to reflect upon and entertain is that life is an experiment which is unfolding right before our very eyes. And what is happening on our planet right now is like watching a movie where all the grown-ups are away and the teenagers are running amok, engaging in one great big destructive free-for-all. Given that we are co-creating together what is unfolding right before our eyes means that we are also able to co-create something different together, a different way, a different reality. We can co-create a different future together. We now have the authority and the choice to choose how we live our lives. We now can choose to think our own thoughts. Choosing to think our own thoughts requires us to assess for ourselves what is currently programmed into our GPS for life, which is in alignment with who we desire and choose to be at this stage in our life's journey, in alignment with who we are being called to be and to do by the children 7 generations in the future. Even if we are unaware of it, we are being called upon to make a choice between our lifestyle and life itself. For we cannot have both. There are too many of us here on this planet at this time for all of us to have lifestyles that are built on consuming. Currently programmed into the collective GPS for life for the many of us on our planet is the thought seed that lifestyle is about having more and is built on consuming. Consuming is also what our current economy is built on. We are told to go shopping to keep the economy going, and going shopping is about lifestyle. We are told to consume, and consume we do. Only now, we know that what we are really consuming is the future. We cannot go back to the time when we did not know this life learning. We cannot go back to the time when we did not know about the consequences of our actions and inactions, just as we cannot go back to the time when we did not know that 2 + 2 = 4. Our GPS for life has now updated this information. And, as I reflected upon in previous chapters, there are GPS for life programmers for hire whose job it is to say and do whatever they need to say and do to program our GPS for life so that we say and do whatever it is that they want us to say and do. And what they want us to do is to consume more and more and more. Within my lifetime, I have observed that we've gone from being human beings, from being citizens, from being grown-ups, from being women and men, from being community members, from being parents, from being mothers, from being fathers, to becoming one thing, consumers. How come? The economy in the experiment that we are currently participating in together, and that is now ruling our world, is an economy based on consuming more and more. This consuming economy is based on extracting, contaminating, trashing, and carving up essential life support ecosystems here on our Mother Earth. These are the very life support ecosystems for all of life as we know it here on our one and only planet. We are all perhaps unwittingly participating in this current experiment which is now running amok on our planet. Grown-ups hear the children 7 generations into the future calling out to us to become the thought leaders, the stewardesses, and the protectresses of all mothers, our Mother Earth. This is what we came here to do. This is what a grown-up does. A grown-up is someone who sees what needs to be seen, faces what needs to be faced, does what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and seeks out whatever support is needed to navigate through what needs to be navigated through. Grown-ups make decisions that benefit the greater good, not themselves and their chosen ones. Once the web of illusion has been torn from our eyes, we now have eyes that see. We now can see the reality of the physical world that we live in. What has to be done is now obvious to us. We have seen through the illusion currently ruling our collective GPS for life. We now accept the responsibility that we have to the generations who come after us. Grown-ups do not live their lives at the expense of children and at the expense of other life forms, both in the present and in the future. Grown-ups do not feed themselves before they feed the children. Grown-ups do not feed themselves before they feed the children. Grown-ups do not eat all the food now and let the children go hungry later. Let the children die. Grown-ups put children first, including children in the present and children 7 generations in the future. This is what grown-ups do. One way of knowing whether someone is a grown-up is to pay attention to the kinds of decisions made by that person. Decisions made that serve the decision-maker's own interest and the interest of her chosen others, at the expense of others, including the future, reveals that the decision-maker is not yet what I am calling a grown-up. Decision-makers who make decisions that are for the greater good and to protect and preserve the future are who I am calling grown-ups. The developmental stage of any decision-maker is often revealed by reviewing the kind of decisions she has made. This holds true for decisions made by political parties and corporations as well. The kinds of decisions made and implemented by political parties and corporations reveal their developmental stage and whether their collective GPS for life is updated to make decisions for the greater good and not for themselves and their chosen few. My thought is that this current life experiment that we are participating in together, this future that we are co-creating together by our actions and our inactions, which is unfolding right before our eyes, is running amok. My thought is that we are co-creating together a monster much, much, much worse than Frankenstein. In chapter 12, I reflected upon the following. When we learn, download, and program into our GPS for life, what I call or thinking, it becomes possible for us to make decisions, to develop a course of action that allows us to act upon one part of our life's ecosystem without any thought whatsoever regarding whether that action will impact the web of our life's ecosystem. Never mind thinking about how it will impact the web of our life's ecosystem. For we do not see the and relationships between the parts that make up the whole, whole, that make up the web of life in our cognitive orchard and in the physical world that we live in. We only see the parts, and we see these parts as distinct, separate component pieces that are standalone and separate from and as not having any relationships with each other. For these relationships, these ands, have not been taught to us and are currently not programmed into our GPS for life, have not been programmed into our operating system for life, which drives what thoughts we have and do not have, what decisions we make and do not make, and what actions we take and do not take. What has been taught to us is what I call or thinking, which opens the door for us being able to implement all kinds of life-altering actions without any thought whatsoever regarding the impact of these actions on anything else, including us, including our children, including their children, and including the children 7 generations in the future. What is missing from our GPS for life, for most of us, is what I call walking the ands. We do not know how to walk the ands, for that learning is missing from our GPS for life, and many of us do not even know that the ands exist. We are taught that the glass is either half empty or half full. We are not taught that the glass is both half empty and half full. Our GPS for life is programmed to see the parts as separated from each other. In Cherry Pit number 12, Walking the Ands, I invited us to invite in for tea to reflect upon and entertain the thought seed that all relationships are built on ands. When we say that the glass is both half full and half empty, we are making visible, we are naming and acknowledging the relationships that exist. The web of life is a web of relationships. Relationships create the web of life. The web of life would not exist without the relationships between the parts, the relationships between the ands of the web of life. Once we sever relationships, we are severing the web of life. We are severing life itself. Life exists because of relationships. Life is relationships. Life is this and this and this and this and this and this. Life is not this or this or this or this or this or this. The thought that I am inviting us to invite in for tea to reflect upon and entertain is the thought seed that ors do not exist in the web of life. Only ands do. What if the ancient peoples and the indigenous peoples knew and know an essential life learning and life wisdom about life on this planet that we do not know and understand? What is this life learning? That everything is connected, and every choice we make and do not make, every action we take and do not take, sets in motion ripples of change that ripple through the present and domino right into the future for 7 generations. How is it that we do not know this? One thought that I invite us to invite in for tea to reflect upon and entertain is the thought that somehow, somewhere, sometime, we began to exclude our elders from our society. Somehow, our elders became unnecessary, became discardable and disposable from our society. For some reason, we began to separate our elders from the rest of society and situated them outside of the flow of life. My thought is that we might want to seek out the elders in our society, those who have learned to assess and program their own chosen thoughts into their own GPS for life. We can seek out our elders who have sought out, learned, and updated into their GPS for life, the life essential, life learnings, and life's wisdoms that we so urgently require to learn in order to assess and recalibrate this experiment that is now running amok on our planet. Somehow, we have programmed into our GPS for life the thought seed that the elders in our society are to be placed in a parking lot. For some reason, we have sidelined our source of life essential, life learnings, and life wisdoms. Would our wise elders who have gained life essential life learnings, would our women of wisdom encourage, support, and continue to program our GPS for life to continue consuming, to choose lifestyle over life? GPS for Life programmers for hire, including many of our elected officials, are busy constructing and delivering messages from the 1% that we are required to consume to buy products, and then to replace these products because they are no longer in style, the very style which the 1% design and change every year. Many of us end up spending our hard-earned money on stuff that we do not need in order to replace perfectly good stuff because the perfectly good stuff is no longer in style, is no longer the trending color, fabric, and design for this year. Our current consuming economy is an illusion built upon an insatiable desire for more and more money for fewer and fewer people, driven by what has been learned and programmed into our collective GPS for life. The GPS for life programmers for hire have done an excellent job of programming this illusion into our GPS for life, which only serves their clients' agenda. For this consuming economy certainly does not serve our responsibility to ensure that there are resilient life support ecosystems here on our planet for the children 7 generations in the future. Once we see through this illusion, once the web of this illusion is torn away from our eyes, is when we are able to see life as it truly is, and are able to recognize that what we currently have programmed into our GPS for life does not accurately reflect the reality of the world we are currently navigating. Having eyes that see the reality of the world we are navigating creates the opportunity and the space for us to become our own programmers, for us to assess and to choose for ourselves our own thoughts. Learning how to listen to and think our own thoughts is required for us to step into our roles as thought leaders, stewardesses, and protectresses. As grown-ups, we celebrate the loss of our innocence and of our illusions. For it is only when we can see life as it is, as it truly is, that we can begin to assess, strategize, and update our GPS for life so that we are empowered to navigate life as it is, so that we have our outboard motor on our cork in the pond of life, and when the winds of change blow us around, we have our motor to put us along in our chosen direction. We are now empowered to decide who we desire to be, how we are going to be, and what we are going to do now that we have seen through the illusion, now that we are face to face with the realities of this experiment called life, that we are all participating in together. When we choose lifestyle over life, which this experiment we currently find ourselves participating in is built upon, we are programming into our GPS for life to be co-creators of, and at the mercy of, lifestyle. The thought that I have at this point in time is that we are now being held hostage in what I call the hamster wheel of lifestyle, in the hamster wheel of more is better, in the hamster wheel of working endlessly to maintain and sustain more is better, to sustain a consuming lifestyle. It does not have to be this way. We have the authority and the choice to participate in and co-create together something very different than the experiment that we are perhaps unwittingly participating in now. My thought is that we women are critical to what the future on our beautiful Mother Earth will be like. We already are co-creating a certain future by participating, perhaps unwittingly, in the current experiment called life, which is now ruling our planet. My thought is that women's voices and actions are essential at this time on our planet for us to transform the experiment that we currently find ourselves participating in from being life-destroying to becoming life-sustaining and life-enhancing. We can do this together. To do so require us to answer our calling and to step into our roles as thought leaders, stewardesses, and protectresses of our precious children, born and unborn, and of our mother of all mothers, our beautiful Mother Earth. Many, many women are answering their calling. How? We first are required to see through the illusion ruling our planet so that we are then free to think our own thoughts. Then we are required to let our own thoughts pass through our lips and become words, both verbal and written, as I am doing here with Cherry Pits for Our Minds. There are many women who are choosing to speak and act from our own thoughts. All we have to do is look around, read, and listen. Courageous women everywhere are supporting each other in speaking and acting from our own thoughts. It takes tremendous courage for women to listen to and share their own thoughts. We now know about our deep abiding fears. We now know that when women do speak and act from our own thoughts, we are usually seen as unstable and even crazy. Remember, fear is our ally. Our dog fear is by our side, always alerting us to what we need to check out so that we can assess whether what we are being alerted to is a fear or is a reality. We know how to do this now. We women are more similar on the inside than we are different. By joining forces and supporting each other as we become who we are meant to become, as we become who we are born on this earth at this time to become, and as we become who we are being called to be and to do, by wisdom herself, we can co-create a different future together. We can co-create our chosen future. We can co-create a sustainable world for the children 7 generations in the future. That is, if we choose to do so. Remember Cherry Pit number 10. Just because something is hard does not mean something is wrong. More and more and more women are speaking up and taking action to protect their children, their grandchildren, and the unborn children by taking a stand together regarding how we are using, abusing, and wasting the essential support systems necessary for all life here on Mother Earth. Our water, our fish, our soil, our forests, our air, and other life forms are all now being exploited by us at the expense of future generations. And if we continue operating within the current life experiment, at the expense of life itself. Women all over our planet are finding our voices, speaking up and taking action as thought leaders, stewardesses, and protectresses of our precious children and our mother of all mothers, our precious Mother Earth, from predators. Remember, given that all of life is an experiment, then our thoughts and our actions are as important, as necessary, as valuable, and as essential as the thoughts of any other person. By choosing to update Cherry Pit number 13, Life is an Experiment, into our GPS for life, we are now able to assess for ourselves, based on what is happening, what is working, what is not working, and what is missing. We are able to seek out for ourselves the learning that we desire and choose for ourselves, the learning which is more in alignment with who we are being called to be and do at this stage in our life's journey, given what is currently unfolding right before our very eyes here on our Mother Earth. If we do not activate our light, if we do not become who we came here to become, There will always be darkness in the beautiful string of lights where our light is meant to shine. There will always be gaps in the thousand-piece puzzle that we are meant to fill. No one else can do it for us, for it is our medicine that is required, and it is our medicine we are here to embody in the web of life called Mother Earth. No one else has the same medicine that we have to share with the rest of us. If we do not do it, it will not happen. Our medicine, our light, will always be missing from the all that there is. This means that the future we are co-creating together is a future without our light in it, without our medicine in it. Now is the time. Now is our time. We are being called. The unborn children 7 generations in the future are calling out to us. Will we answer their call? I am now inviting you to reflect upon the following questions. Question number 1. How come the thought seeds of cherry pit number 13, life is an experiment, are important? Question number 2. How come the thought seeds in cherry pit number 13, life is an experiment, are important to me? Question number 3. How come the thought seeds in cherry pit number 13, life is an experiment, are important to women, to grandmothers, to mothers, to daughters, to sisters, to aunts? We are now at the end of Chapter 13 of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, where I invited you to invite in for tea and entertain the last cherry pit number 13. Cherry pit number 13 is Life is an Experiment. In closing, I'm inviting you to reflect upon the thoughts that I have entertained in this chapter. First, though, I would like to remind you of the cherry pits for our minds that I have introduced you to so far. Cherry pit number 1. We learn what we live and live what we learn until we do something about it. Cherry pit number 2. We're all going to drop the ball and make mistakes. Cherry pit number 3. Listen to understand, not to agree and disagree. Cherry pit number 4. We don't know what we don't know. Cherry pit number 5. Life happens after we make our plans. Cherry pit number 6. Think our own thoughts. Cherry pit number 7. Adversity is life's teacher. Cherry pit number 8. Fear is our ally. Cherry pit number 9. We end up with whatever we tolerate. Cherry pit number 10. Just because something is hard does not mean that something is wrong. Cherry pit number 11. We can't change and stay the same. Cherry pit number 12. Walking the ands. And cherry pit number 13. Life is an experiment. Thoughts we reflected upon and entertained during this chapter include: what if the ancient peoples knew and the indigenous people knew and know the life essential, life wisdom that everything is connected and that every action we take and every action we do not take ripples through the present right into the future for 7 generations? Inviting cherry pit number 13, Life is an Experiment, in for tea to reflect upon and entertain compels us to entertain the thought seed that no one really knows what they are doing, that everything is an experiment, and that everyone is experimenting, and anyone can do what they want to do, and in fact, are doing what they want to do, with no responsibility for what they set in motion and no accountability for the impact on the web of life, on the life support ecosystems for all of life here on our Mother Earth, for those of us in the present, and for those of us 7 generations in the future. The web of life is a web of relationships. It is relationships that create the web of life. The web of life would not exist without the relationships between the parts, between the ends of the web of life. Once we sever relationships, we are severing the web of life. We are severing life itself. Life exists because of relationships. Life is relationships. Within my lifetime, we have gone from being human beings, from being citizens, from being grown-ups, from being women and men, from being community members, from being parents, from being mothers, from being fathers, to becoming one thing, consumers. What is currently called lifestyle is generally built on consuming. Consuming is also what our current economy is built on. We are told to go shopping to keep the economy going. And going shopping is about lifestyle. We are told to consume, and consume we do. Only now, we now know that what we are really consuming is the future. We are being called upon to make a choice between our lifestyle and life itself. For we cannot have both. There are too many of us here on this earth at this time for all of us to have lifestyles that are built on consuming. For the economy and the experiment that we are currently participating in together, and that is now ruling our world, is an economy based on consuming more and more. This consuming economy is based on extracting, contaminating, trashing, and carving up life's essential support systems here on our Mother Earth, which are the support systems for all life as we know it, here on our one and only planet, our Mother Earth. It does not have to be this way. We have the authority and the choice to participate in and co-create something very different than the experiment that we are perhaps unwittingly participating in now. How did it come to pass that as a society, we do not respect our elders? How come we are in such a hurry to put out to pasture those who know the most so that those who know the least can take over? Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Now is the time. Now is our time. We are being called. The unborn children 7 generations in the future are calling out to us. Will we answer their call? I'm inviting you to invite these thoughts in for tea and to entertain these thoughts as you would a guest, knowing that these thoughts will leave as all guests eventually do. And perhaps you might reflect upon these thoughts. Perhaps you might entertain these thoughts for yourself so that you can assess for yourself whether or not these thoughts resonate for you, whether or not these thoughts fit for you, and whether or not these thoughts work for who and where you are at this time in your life's journey, given who you choose to be and given who you were born to be here on this earth at this time. And if these thoughts do resonate for you, if these thoughts do fit for you, if these thoughts do work for you, then perhaps you might consider asking them to stay. I thank you for joining with me as I reflect upon these 13 hand-picked cherry pits for our minds. Goodbye for now.